Well, the Warriors road trip started great, didn't end so great. They lost to the Denver Nuggets in the Mile High City. Sophia Jones, a point guard for the San Jose State University Spartans. She's also a color commentator for their games, which is awesome. Joins me next. We're going to break down what went wrong, whether any panic buttons should be pressed, and just kind of go over what happened exactly that led to the Warriors finishing this road trip 1-2. This all next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You can follow Sophia Jones, again, a point guard for the San Jose State Spartans, color commentator for their broadcast. She's been on the show before. Stoked to have her on again. You can follow her on Twitter at SophiaJones_2. You can follow me, Cyrus Sautzels, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. Sophia, great to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. And give us your immediate reaction, not just to the Warriors losing in Denver tonight, but losing two straight, because that Timberwolves game was just the night before, and that was brutal as well. Your reaction to those two games?
I would say my immediate reaction is, especially kind of coming up to this All-Star break, you want to be able to be in a good position and in good standings in the West, where everyone seems to be separated by one game for the play-in. So you need to make those road games count, and the Warriors definitely haven't had this season.
No, they haven't. Give us, like, what happened tonight? I mean, the Warriors went into the half. I believe they were down a point. I thought I heard Bob Fitzgerald say they were tied at the half, but I thought they were down one. But regardless, the Warriors were in it. And then all of a sudden you look up and the Nuggets went on that 16-0 run in the third quarter, which has been a recurring theme all season. That's something I want to touch on in tonight's show in a moment. But what happened in that second half, Sophia? What do you think went wrong for the Warriors?
I feel like the Nuggets, since they do have the best offense in the league, they're the highest offensively rated team. When you're in a competition against those type of teams and you're kind of going blow for blow for so long, you have to make extremely sure that your defense doesn't break down, which is exactly kind of what the Warriors did. And they couldn't get baskets on the other end, which just kind of led to that run.
It did. And so I didn't get a chance to watch the Timberwolves game live. Did you watch that game last night?
I was following the score, but I didn't get to watch it live either.
Okay. So what I have to do is today, I had to kind of rewatch the whole thing. I didn't get a chance to watch, like, literally play by play, but I watched the whole second half, parts of the first half. What Kerr did last night, he didn't do tonight. Tonight, he actually played his bigs. I don't think he played them at opportune times, but he wasn't playing his bigs in the Minnesota game. What are your thoughts on the rotations in general? Like, and more specifically in that Minnesota game, again, Kerr's been using the small ball lineup a lot. But at the end of the game in overtime, he stuck with it. They were getting killed on the offensive glass. Their defense at times was getting eaten up. I think a lot of it is because of, again, the fact that they're so diminutive out there. What are your thoughts on the small ball lineup? Like, do you think it's making a huge impact as a former player? Let's say you were playing, your coach decided that she's going to implement a 5-player lineup to close a game where your traditional small forward is now your center. That's basically what Kerr is doing here, right? What is your thoughts on the small ball routine that Steve Kerr is doing? Do you like it? What are your thoughts on it?
I feel like when you go small ball, the emphasis has to be on the offensive end. So if you're playing that lineup and you're able to get enough baskets where you might suffer a little bit on the defensive end due to your lack of size, kind of saw it today a little bit where they just kind of kept pounding it inside kept getting Jokic. He was able to kind of do whatever he wanted. And then how you mentioned a lot of giving up a lot of offensive rebounds, which a lot of that is stuff that you lack doing a small ball lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But you also do get to pick up, like I had mentioned, offensively, but they just weren't able to pack enough of a punch offensively to make up for the lack of a defensive presence.
Absolutely. And I've always felt like, you know, the old adage is defense wins championships. Steve Kerr has even placed a strong emphasis on that in his career coaching the Golden State Warriors. I mean, Mark Jackson really started it in terms of being just so defensive focused. The Warriors, in my opinion, in all my years watching this team dating back to the 80s, the mid 80s, have never had a solid defensive team until Mark Jackson took over. And then fortunately, Steve Kerr kind of kept that defensive identity going. And he's had that for most of his career, his tenure head coaching the Golden State Warriors. But this season, their defense is atrocious. I don't know how often you're watching this team, Sophia, so I don't know how well you can answer this. But in your opinion, what's going on with the Warriors' defense? Is it the small ball? Is it a lack of aggression? Is it personnel? What do you think is going on? Because this defense is – they're not going to win a world championship if this defense continues playing like this. And I'd love to know from your perspective why the defense is so bad this year.
Well, kind of right off the bat, we kind of saw how the defensive wasn't as up to its usual par at the beginning of the season due to the loss of Mike Brown. He's kind of the defensive mind behind everything. He's, you know, telling people on the bench more so the X's and O's, watching film with them. So they lost that person and they're not able to kind of get inside that mind as much. But also because their defense is especially bad on the road, and I feel like part of that is due to kind of a lot of the injuries and the load management that some of the players have been doing on the road. Like we see kind of tonight, Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, they didn't play. Klay, he's still kind of nursing back from injury a little bit, so that's understandable. But those are two really big defensive presences that you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wiggins has been out. He's had some illnesses. So maybe he's still kind of getting back into game shape, but he's usually one of those people that you can go to as like a lockdown defender. And Jamal Murray just kind of had his way tonight.
Jamal Murray did have his way tonight. He finished the game with 33 points, added 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, who's the favorite to win his third straight MVP, even though I'm all team Joel Embiid right now for that MVP award. He had 22 points, 16 assists, 14 rebounds. So, yeah, the Warriors were absolutely eating up. You know, one late-minute scratch for the starting lineup tonight, and this was not planned. The Warriors originally said that Draymond Green was going to be the starter. And then last minute, right before the game starts, he's not. And I didn't really see much information about the why of that, but I did just see a report that was published 10 minutes ago from various Warriors beat reporters who are in Denver. And reportedly that Draymond Green's absence tonight was because of calf tightness. This is frightening. And the reason why I say that is because calf tightness is what afflicted Draymond Green last year that led him to miss 2.5 months of the season. Again, he has a herniated disc in his back. That's what caused the calf tightness. There's a possibility that might be the cause of this again. How alarmed are you, Sophia? I mean, I don't think the Warriors are your favorite team, but let's say they were. Let's say you called yourself a member of Dub Nation. How concerned and frightened are you about this new revelation that we're just learning about Draymond Green?
I mean, I honestly didn't know I didn't remember that it was that calf tightness that he had that led him to miss so many games.
Right.
I feel like if it's something where it was planned that they wanted to play him, but then it was a really late scratch, kind of leads me to think that maybe it wasn't as bad as it possibly could have been. And maybe, you know, they could possibly be saving him for the big matchup against the Mavericks on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that was a very late decision. Joe in the chat writes, and I'd love to know what you think, Sophia. Joe writes, again, we're doing a live show tonight, Thursday evening. It's Groundhog's Day. Joe writes, it could be a blessing in disguise. Let Draymond chill for a few games, play Wiseman plus Jamichael Green. I had a couple people tweeting at me complaining about Jamichael Green's performance tonight. James Wiseman played for the first time, I believe, in over a month. When we come back, Sophia, I would love to know what you thought about those two and their performance. Just before we go to the break, Wiseman, just to let people know, again, I don't remember the last time he played, but he played 17 minutes tonight, had 9 points, two rebounds, was plus seven in the plus minus. In fact, this is crazy. James Wiseman led the Warriors in plus minus, again, with plus seven. And then Jamichael Green, I thought he had a good night. I mean, in 16 minutes of play, 6 points, four rebounds, four assists. He was tasked with the challenge of guarding Nikola Jokic, which is just ridiculously unfair for a player who was Jokic's teammate just a year ago. And they played very different positions. But Jamichael was 1 for 2 from the field. I don't know. I didn't see the big deal. I didn't see the negatives that some other people were saying. I'd love to know what you think about those two. And what and just about James Wiseman in general, just how he's been basically just relegated to the bench for most of the season. So we'll talk about that and so much more. First, we got to give I got to give some love to one of our new sponsors. And Sophia, I don't know if you consider this a big deal or not, but we got FanDuel sponsoring us now. We're stoked. I'm going to switch us so you're not hiding behind that overlay. But this year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Sophia, what is your plan for the Super Bowl? You're still in college. I love it, living vicariously through my students. What are you doing? What is the Super Bowl party plans for college student Sophia Jones?
Okay, the Super Bowl is next weekend, though, right?
Correct, yeah.
I'm not a huge NFL person, if I'm being completely honest.
Be honest, that's all I want. Yeah.
I might just kind of stay the night in and catch up on homework, honestly.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. I respect that. Well, look, while Sophia's doing homework, a lot of other people are going to be partying and celebrating and watching the big game. It's an American tradition. I totally respect it. I actually love that's a great answer in my book. But we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Sophia, before we move on from FanDuel and the Super Bowl, are you following? Do you even know like who's playing in it? Do you have any inkling for who might win? It's the Chiefs and the Eagles. Any thoughts on the matchup at all? And if not, totally cool too, I promise.
I just love the fact that for the only football game of February of Black History Month that you have two Black quarterbacks.
Yes.
So I love that. Absolutely. I don't know. I know Patrick Mahomes, he's usually MVP, so the Chiefs are probably
I agree. And what's crazy is the last time I looked at it, the Chiefs are the underdogs for this game, but we'll see what happens. It should be a fun time. So join FanDuel today. We're at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Sophia Jones, point guard for the San Jose State Spartans, at Sophia Jones_2. Did I get that right? I'm going off memory now. Okay, good. Yes. Okay, your thoughts on James Wiseman and Jamichael Green tonight, and I'm going to follow up and ask you about Wiseman in general and what the team should do. But let's start with tonight. What did you think about the performances?
Tonight, I would say for Wiseman specifically, I definitely noticed that there are several times that he was posting up and he was doing a good steal, but they weren't getting the ball inside to him, where it's kind of, as a post player, it's kind of hard when you're just running up and down the floor a bunch of times and getting to touch the ball like once every five possessions. It's just really hard to kind of get in a rhythm. But he runs the floor really well. He had two nice open layups in transition, which I feel like there aren't that many players that are as mobile as Wiseman in that center position. And in terms of Jamichael Green, I thought he gave some solid minutes for the Warriors. As you had mentioned earlier, it's a really tough matchup.
Yeah, same.
But I felt like he gave some solid minutes. I think that when you have a player that played against the old team, they kind of know a little bit more of the ins and outs. So that's just kind of a valuable mind to have on the floor.
Agreed. And Joe's on fire today. I'm agreeing with almost everything he's writing. Joe writes, Ty Jerome and Jordan Poole refused to pass the ball to James Wiseman. Criminal. I noticed the exact same thing. I didn't see it as much with Poole, but I saw Ty Jerome, who had an awful game tonight. I do not understand this love affair that Steve Kerr has with Ty Jerome. I don't mind him being on this team in an end of the bench kind of role, but in a game like tonight, you know, he played 24 minutes. He was just 1 for 6 from beyond the arc. And I remember like there was one series where he missed 2 threes in a row and Wiseman was wide open in the post. How bad does that bother you? And Sophia, you're a point guard. If let's say in a situation like that where the ball is not going inside to Wiseman, are they doing that intentionally? Is there any possibility they didn't see Wiseman open? What do you think transpired there where Ty Jerome and Jordan Poole opted not to give the ball to Wiseman despite the fact that he's well positioned in the post?
I feel like if the post player has that type of positioning and you're at that high of a level that you're playing in the NBA, you can make that pass inside. Yeah. You have that good vision to be able to see that. So I feel like it was a little bit more so of a choice not to pass it in, where I feel like some of the factors that could influence that choice could be maybe they don't trust passing the ball into him if they don't think that he's ceiling hard enough. That's always something where they think that the defender can maybe just swim around and tap the ball away, or that if they get it into the post that he just won't do anything.
Right. Yeah. You brought up the Sacramento Kings earlier. They're currently in third place in the Western Conference. You know, the Warriors lost Mike Brown. They lost Leandro Barbosa to that team. Your dad is probably living on cloud nine, being the play-by-play broadcaster for the Sacramento Kings. Their rookie, Keegan Murray, was recently named, I believe, Rookie of the Month. And it really raised an interesting point for me, or at least certainly a topic of discussion that I'd love to ask you, which is that, you know, the Warriors have Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, James Wiseman, right? Two of the three are in their second year, James Wiseman in his third year. And despite the fact that, you know, they're no longer rookies, all three of them were part of a championship team, but two of them were legitimately playing. They were starting some games in the postseason. Yet you look at the Warriors now, and Kuminga's the only one who's consistently playing. Moody has been DNP'd a ton. He just came back from the G League. You know, we all know the story with James Wiseman. He's barely played all season. He had G League stints. He missed over a month with, you know, he had a mild ankle sprain, but the team kept him out, and Kerr hesitates to play him. In your opinion, what are the Warriors doing wrong that the Kings are doing right, where the Kings are utilizing a rookie in Keegan Murray on a third-place team, but the Warriors, despite having now experienced lottery picks, can't find minutes for him, and they're currently sitting, entering tonight's game, they were sitting seventh, and they're now a 500 team again. What's your take on that?
I feel like part of it also kind of has to do with the whole personnel of a team. So you kind of look at the Kings and they're kind of forefront of the team, the leaders, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. And so you have Keegan Murray and the players that are behind him, or just in all, you could say that the talent level isn't as high as it is in the Warriors. So I feel like Kerr has kind of chosen to rely more so back on his veteran players. But in the situation where they've been kind of out a lot recently, the younger players, Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, they're not getting that run because Kerr just wants to play his veterans, which I feel like you can't expect the young core to be able to have success if they don't have minutes in the first place and they don't have a feel for the game.
Right. And this has been just something that's been really just bugging me all season. I'm sure it's bugging a lot of people that the Warriors, even though these three players are young, they're serviceable. They're athletic. They know the game. I do not understand the hesitancy to play them. When we come back, I'm going to play a soundbite from Steve Kerr saying that he liked what he saw from the Warriors bench tonight, despite the team losing. And we'll have a lot more to talk about because I really want to touch on the Warriors' third quarter struggles this year and get your opinion on what the reason is for that. I mean, look, you might not have the answer. No worries if you don't. But nonetheless, you are a player. And again, you know this game. So just even your opinion would be incredibly valuable. But first, I got to give some love to another fantastic sponsor of ours, and that's Prize Picks. And this is where Prize Picks can be brutal, folks. The premise is very simple. All right, Sophie, are you 21 yet? Are you 21 years of age?
I'm not. I'm 20.
Okay, so when you turn 21, you can play Prize Picks. It's legal in California. It's insanely fun. The only downside is you're going to have a night like tonight where I bet the over on Stephen Curry. I bet the over on who was the other player I bet the over on? Oh, I remember. It was Caldwell Pope. I'm sorry. Because you can't bet. You have the whole premise of Prize Picks is you pick 2 to 6 players, and it's all about over-unders. It could be points, assists, rebounds, whatever the stat is. And it's not just limited to the NBA. You can also bet on NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, you name it. But you can't bet on two players from the same team and not include at least one player from another team. So if you're going to do a two-player bet, like, for example, tonight, I went with Stephen Curry, and I bet the over. And I went with Caldwell Pope, and I bet the over. Caldwell Pope nailed it for me, by I think, in the first quarter. But Stephen Curry, his over-under was 28.5, and he finishes with 28. You win some, you lose some, folks. But regardless, it keeps things interesting. It's fun. And that's how it works. It's that simple. You're just betting over-unders on individual players. And the state of California considers it daily fantasy sports, so it is not considered gambling. So folks, if you're in California, go right to prizepicks.com or download the Prize Picks app to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, they give you $100. It's that simple. And if all you got is 50 or 25, they will match that. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100 and play Prize Picks, which is damn fun.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Sophia Jones, point guard for the San Jose State Spartans, color commentator for San Jose State Spartans basketball broadcast on Twitter at @SophiaJones_2. So the third quarter of Warriors basketball this year has been abysmal. And maybe that's a harsh word. It's just been average. And by their standards, it's been abysmal because in every year that the Warriors have won a world championship, they have led the NBA in third quarter differential. In fact, that's always been one thing that I routinely praise Steve Kerr for when defending him as being a brilliant coach, is that, well, look at the third quarter. They're making those adjustments at the half. It's not like NFL football where you're in and out of the locker room. There's actually some time for a coach to strategize, to scheme, to let his players know what they're doing right and wrong. And again, for every team in the dynasty, they led the NBA in third quarter differential. In fact, they dominated that category. Yet this season, they're 15th. In the third quarter of tonight's game, the Nuggets went on a 16-0 run. They outscored the Warriors 35-22 in the third quarter. And this is normal. It started to make me wonder if the absence of Mike Brown, and even in the early years when Alvin Gentry was there, it was also another brilliant basketball mind. They're not here now. Mike Brown is now coaching the Kings again, where your dad is having a grand old time being the play-by-play broadcaster. In your opinion, is losing Mike Brown, is that playing a part in the third quarter struggles? Do you think it's something else? What is your opinion on the Warriors being a really bad third quarter team this year?
I feel like it could potentially have something to do with it. You mentioned halftime is the time that you want to tell a team what they're doing good, what they're doing bad, what they need to make improvements on so that they can lock in and get their minds right for the next half to come. So I feel like if you're not getting fed the proper information that you need to go out on the court and make those adjustments, that could potentially be a reason. But at the same time, it's not only on the coaches, it's also the players to have that urgency to make those changes. I felt like, especially in this game, the Warriors might have gotten a little bit comfortable since they were only down 1 point at the half. Mm-hmm. And maybe like in the back of their minds, like, hey, like this is the third quarter, like that's our thing, we got this, but they didn't go out and execute.
And that's been an issue all year is executing. Here's Steve Kerr talking about the Warriors bench tonight, which actually did do good, relatively speaking, compared to the starters. When you look at the box score, for example, and you look at plus minus, Stephen Curry was minus 16. Jonathan Kuminga, who I thought had a great game, but his plus minus was awful. He started, it was minus 23. Andrew Wiggins was minus 13. And then meanwhile, you look at the bench and you have players like James Wiseman, who was plus 7. Moses Moody was only minus 7. Ty Jerome was plus 1. Jermichael Green was minus 9. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that looking at plus minus, and especially collectively, you can see why Steve Kerr was alluding to the bench having a decent night. And here is Kerr talking about that.
Really extended your bench check. I mean, the reason why, are you going to play more players going forward, or is that just...
I think every game is different, but, you know, coming off the back-to-back, you know, we wanted to give guys a chance to play, and obviously Draymond's injury last second, not injury, but you know, his calf tightened up on him, and so him missing opened up more minutes for other guys. And I really like how the you know, the guys played off the bench. I thought everybody really contributed well. James, whose first time he's played in 4 or 5 games, and came in and looked good. And I thought Jermichael had a really good first half. It was good to see him out there after missing, you know, the last couple of games. And you know, Dante continues to play at a high level. So I like what we saw from our bench tonight. But again, it wasn't just, you know, we didn't have enough.
You know what's funny there is what caught my eye, or my attention at least, in that attribution was Kerr talking about, you know, like Wiseman hadn't played in 4 or 5 games, you know, Jermichael hadn't played in the last couple games and had no reason for it. It's like I've been baffled as to just the rotations, the minute distribution. Jermichael Green has just been DNP for a bunch of games. Any response from you when hearing Steve Kerr talk about the bench?
I feel like when you have so much change in lineups and kind of how he said, like, minutes distribution, it's hard for everyone on the court to be able to get into a flow, because sometimes you're playing with players that you haven't played with in a couple games. So it's kind of a little bit of an adjustment where it's hard to kind of, you know, how I mentioned, get into a flow and just feel comfortable on the court.
Absolutely right. The Warriors, thanks for coming on. I love picking your brain, Sophia, because again, you play the game for San Jose State. You clearly know it. What is a typical like dinner like with your dad, by the way? For people that don't know, your dad's is Mark Jones, who, you know, ESPN commentator. First, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, first Black individual to call an NBA Finals game. I believe that's correct, right? That was last year. Calling the Warriors game? Do you know?
So that was the first time that it was an all-Black crew calling an NBA.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So it was him, Mark Jackson, and Lisa Salters on the call.
There you go. Okay, well, that's awesome to me. Yeah, your dad's a legend. What's dinner like? I mean, are you talking hoops? Do you not talk hoops? How much basketball do you two talk about?
We talk a lot. We talk about kind of if there is a game on, depending on the game, it's you're not going to get that much of a flowing conversation out of either of us, because everything is just kind of like, oh my gosh, look what just happened. Or he's always asking me how everything's going. He'll ask how school's going, how basketball is going, be like, he's still getting ball handling in, extra shots in. Always asking that every chance he gets. But yeah, it's very basketball dominated, I would say. But I mean, that's what we love talking about. So we probably sometimes annoy my mom a little bit and the rest of my family. Not annoy, but like, they're like, hey, like, can we talk about something else?
It gets old, yeah. They get tired of it. That's awesome. The one stat that keeps popping out to me lately is points in the paint. This is a stat that the Warriors lose routinely, night after night. Even when they're you know, keeping things even in the rebounding numbers, sometimes they even win the rebounding battle. On the season, they're not doing bad in terms of rebounding, but points in the paint's a different story. They were outscored again tonight, 54-44. How much weight do you put on that stat? I think it's big because that represents easy baskets. That means you're attacking, you're being aggressive. What are your thoughts on points in the paint and the fact that the Warriors are routinely losing in that category?
I would say that definitely shows one of the biggest things is kind of a little bit more so of a lack of aggression. Even if it's more so, a lot of times you don't want to get to the paint to score, but even if you get to the paint, you're creating open looks for other players on the perimeter. But at the same time, it also kind of highlights how they have a little bit of a lack of an inside presence, getting those easy, you know, just passing, dump to the post, easy hook shot, layup, kind of those baskets that are very much needed. Just they're very high percentage. Sometimes the three ball doesn't always fall. So being able to get into the paint and those more so high percentage shots are huge.
Agreed. I totally agree. And we'll end on this note. And Sophia, I can't thank you enough again for coming on. The Warriors, I feel like I blinked, and the Warriors were fifth in the Western Conference. After tonight and last night's losses to Minnesota and now the Denver Nuggets, they are ninth in the standings. And even through 52 games in the regular season, they are an even 26-26. They trail both the Suns and the Utah Jazz by a half game for the seventh seed. They now trail the Minnesota Timberwolves by a whole game for the sixth seed. They play the Dallas Mavericks at home Saturday in what is suddenly a huge game, partly because they now trail the Mavericks by a game and a half for the fifth seed. They trail the Clippers by two games for the fourth seed. And the Sacramento Kings have now built a four-game lead on the Warriors in the standings. The Kings are third. And the Grizzlies, by the way, are sliding. They've lost seven of their last 10. And the Grizzlies now only hold a two-game lead over the Kings. So it looks like it's going to be the Denver Nuggets conference. And then everyone else will be battling it out for who knows what. And this all leads to the final question, Sophia. What do you think about this Warriors team? Something tells me, like, if Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, Stephen Curry, something tells me none of them are pressing a panic button. I sure, as you know what, would be pressing a panic button regarding this Draymond Green news. If that thing is serious, if this calf tightness, and by the way, someone asked earlier, how does calf tightness correlate to a back injury? It's because the nerves in that disc are literally controlling the calf. And because of that, the pressure on those nerves and on that disc, it is literally atrophying his calf. It's causing a lack of movement. So I pray that is not a serious thing, because if it is, this season is over for the Warriors. But let's say it's not a serious thing. Let's say Draymond Green is fine. Again, something tells me no one's pressing a panic button within the Golden State Warriors organization. Would you be pressing a panic button? What are your thoughts on the Warriors? Are they still strong contenders for the World Championship? Your thoughts?
I wouldn't be pressing the panic button, because I do feel like in some of the wins that the team has been able to have this season, in some of those wins, they've looked really, really good. I mean, beating the Grizzlies twice, that win versus Boston, like some of the best teams in the league. So you know that they have the capability to do that. And just kind of when they flip that switch, like, it can happen. So maybe this team is just, you know, post all-star playoff more so, but I wouldn't necessarily be pressing the panic button.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Unless that Draymond Green injury is serious. And that's another story. But tomorrow, Kylan Mills and I will be at it, giving in some more detailed breakdowns of the Golden State Warriors. Anything else? Is there anything you'd like to promote, Sophia, before you go? Anything you feel like we didn't cover? Anything you want to mention? The floor is yours.
I'll just say, come out to San Jose State women's basketball game.
There you go. Yeah, Mark Spears, I think, is even involved in some of those broadcasts. Kylan Mills, my partner on this broadcast, is involved in some of those games. And you, dealing with your torn ACL, how's that going, by the way? Are you almost back?
Not almost back. No, not quite. But rehab has been going well. And good. I will be on the call for our home games as a color analyst for the Mountain West Network for our home games this year, too.
Well, there you go. And as I've told Kylan and I've told your dad, the future is yours, Sophia. It's all about how bad you want it. And I expect tremendous things from you in the future. Again, you can follow Sophia Jones on Twitter at @SophiaJones_2. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzels, on Twitter at @DogSurfRoadshow. And this program on Twitter at @LockedOnDubs. Thank you so much for everyone joining in. No cap rights. Am I going to go to the Kruger show? Yeah, why not? Let's do it. I just got a text from him, so that probably means he's inviting me. But Sophia, thank you so much. And your dad, I'm sure, will be back on the show soon as well. But keep up the great work and look forward to having you on the show again soon. Thank you. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
We done? We good? I think so.